Everything's slow. I don't, maybe I am too. Well, greetings to each one of you this morning in Jesus' name. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, who died as a sacrifice and paid the price for my sin and for your sins and for all people's sins. Jesus, who rose from the grave and is living today, interceding for me and for you and for all Christians before the Father. May his name be honored and this morning and glorified. When Dawson started this morning, I thought, well, he could keep going. And then in Sunday school, it seemed to flow right with what he's saying, and it seemed like the Spirit's moving, and it was, Dale mentioned it too, and I was like, wow, where does that put me? So far, the service has been really, really seemed to be Spirit-led. But thank God, I think what he laid on my heart can ties right in and goes along with the first part of the service and the Sunday school. When Sandra and I went to the SEMA meetings last fall, Tim Thomas was given a little bit of time to speak, and he stimulated our thinking on brotherhood and our sharing plan and how it all should work together. And another word for brotherhood is community. And so I've chosen to speak on community as my topic today. What is community? Dictionary, the secular dictionary says a community is a social unit, a group of living things with commonalities such as norms, religion, values, customs, or identity. A community may share a sense of place situated in a given geographical area, such as a country, a village, a town, or a neighborhood, or in virtual space through communications platforms. Durable relations that extend beyond immediate geographical areas or geographical ties also define a sense of community, important to their identity, practice, and roles in social institutions such as families, homes, work, government, society, or humanity at large. Although communities are usually small relative to personal social ties, community may also refer to large group affiliations such as national communities, international communities, and virtual communities. First and foremost, community is not a place, a building, or an organization, nor is it an exchange of information over the internet. Community is both a feeling and a set of relationships among people. People form and maintain communities to meet their common needs. Members of a community have a sense of trust, belonging, safety, and caring for each other. They have an individual and collective sense that they can, as part of that community, influence their environments and each other. That treasured feeling of community comes from shared experience and a sense of, not necessarily the actual experience of, shared history. As a result, people know who is and isn't part of their community. This feeling is fundamental to human existence. Neighborhoods, companies, schools, and places of faith are context and environments for these communities, but they are not communities themselves. With 7.5 billion people in the world, and I took that off the internet, and I think it could, I don't know if that's the actual amount today, but it sure doesn't feel lonely. People are everywhere. Even so, it is easy to get so wrapped up in our own lives that we don't take time to really get to know others. We might mingle at church or catch up in the break room at work, but that doesn't mean we have authentic community. In her memoir, A City Year, Suzanne Goldsmith offers her own definition of the word community. Communities are not built of friends, or of groups with similar styles and tastes, or even people who like and understand each other. They are built of people who feel they are part of something that is bigger than themselves, a shared goal or enterprise, like righting a wrong, or building a road, or raising children, or living honorably, or worshiping a God. To build community, and this is what caught my attention, to build community requires only the ability to see value in others, to look at them and see a potential partner in one's enterprise. Goldsmith's definition raises many interesting questions that can help us refine our understanding of the word community. Must members like each other? Do communities always serve a purpose? Are those who do not contribute to the purpose still considered members in the community? Goldsmith's words introduce the idea that being a member of a community comes with responsibilities. Members are partners in a common enterprise. I gave you those questions as food for thought, and I'm not really going to expound on those. In God's perfect plan, God didn't intend for us to live in solitude. He specifically designed us to crave and thrive in relationships with others. We're our best selves when we're experiencing life's highs and lows with others. That means everyone, whether you're single or married, needs community. And how do you build community? By having the ability to see value in others. When I look around, and when you look around here this morning, do you see value in people that are around you? Do you see the value that they have as a group? Do you see the ability to see value in others? This ability to see value in others goes a lot deeper than looking at someone and assessing their value by what they can do for me or for you. A lot of times we look around and it's like we see people and we say, oh, they can do good here, they can do good there, and we see it like, oh, maybe they could, whatever they could do for me personally. But this seeing value in others goes a lot deeper than that. Do you see the wisdom that comes from age and experience? Do you see the compassion that comes from a person that has gone through and healed from experience you're in the middle of? Do you see the organizational skills of a person? Do you see the tech skills of someone? Do you see the very basic skills of some people? I mean, we're talking our body. I mean, the church body is supposed to be like a physical body, and there's some things on my body I don't think there's any use for, but they're still there. Do we see the value in everybody that's part of this group? The Bible has a lot to say about this topic. Here are five reasons the Bible tells us community is so important. Number one, community is encouraging. Number two, community is fun. Number three, community attracts the Holy Spirit. Number four, community fosters love. Number five, community is life-giving. Let's look at each one of these a little closer. Number one, community is encouraging. Being in community gives you the chance to be around people at different stages of their faith journey. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens and in this way follow the suggestion of Christ. Does that sound right? Not really. I put that in, but it says, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. He don't really give us a choice to share each other's burdens. He tells us we need to do that. That's awesome because everyone has something to teach and everyone has something to learn. In fact, it creates the ideal environment to be a Barnabas, which is considered a friendly kind of guy, or to be a Paul, which was a teacher, or to train a Timothy, a student. What it comes down to is lifting each other up, learning from one another, and being the friend each of us needs. That is how Hebrews describes community, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's taken out of Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Number two, community is fun. Community should never feel boring or forced. In fact, it should be the exact opposite. Psalms 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Our culture can sometimes portray Christians as a pretty boring bunch, but that couldn't or shouldn't be further from the truth. Believers can be goofy, witty, and just really fun to be around. I mean, look at the people around you. What do you see? Okay, maybe you don't need to answer that, what they might look like or what kind of people they are. But yes, community has a higher purpose, but it should also be enjoyable. Number three, community attracts the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit is present whenever believers gather together, Matthew 18:20. A great example of this was the early church of Acts, which made a habit of meeting together, eating together, and worshiping together. As a result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, and that's taken out of Acts 2:46 and 47. Being in church on Sundays is definitely important, but if you want to be a Christ follower, be one every day in the context of all your communities. That's where you'll see ministry happen. Number four, community fosters love. We've probably all been to a wedding where the officiant recited the familiar words of 1 Corinthians 13, which ends with, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Paul held love above all else in his letter to the Corinthians, and he did the same with his letter to the Colossians. "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Colossians 3:13 and 14. Number five, community is life-giving and essential to following Christ. Scripture says that because we're better together than when we are alone, Romans 12:3-5, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, and this is Paul speaking, he said, "I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has special functions, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." It can be hard for some of us to commit to community, especially if we're guarded or prefer solitude. I'm reminded of a song, it's before my era, but it's a catchy tune. So that's, you know, I like music, so that catchy tune, he's like, "Ooh, what's that?" But anyway, Simon and Garfunkel sang it. The title of the song was "I Am a Rock." The words go like this: "A winter's day in a deep and dark December, I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen, silent shroud of snow. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. Don't talk of love, but I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am sheltered in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain and an island never cries." As I read this, I could feel some of the writer's frustration, the hurts, the emotions, and the tears. The times he gave of himself and made himself vulnerable and it was not appreciated or did not even have the desired results, or he was avoided or completely cut off. So what does he do? He isolates himself. He builds walls. He surrounds himself with the things he likes, not people. Things can't hurt your emotions. He shows everyone, "I don't need you. I can manage without you." Sad to say, but that's me at times. When my expectations aren't met, I throw up my hands and say, "I guess I will never expect anything, so I'll never be disappointed. I can do it better myself anyway." Me, myself, and I, a complete unit right there. A little bit like the Trinity, right? Wrong. That is the devil's mentality. Community is God's desire for us and a sign of a mature faith. Because at the end of the day, when we grow our relationships with others, we're growing in relationship with Jesus Christ. As I look at my relationship with those around me, or as you look at your relationship with those around you, what do you see? Are they shallow or are they deep? Are you happy with where they're at? As God looks at my relationships and as He looks at yours, is He pleased? Carlene posted something the other day that Henry David Thoreau wrote. Could a greater miracle take place than for each of us to look through each other's eye for an instant? Do I even try to see what you see? Or am I busy with my life that I don't take the time to understand what you're seeing? We all need others in our lives and not just bodies. We need community. Without community, we're zombies. So thanks, Carlene, for posting that because it helped me today. God calls us to fellowship with one another on earth because it reflects fellowship, the fellowship we will have with one another in heaven. The mission of the gospel is too big a task for us to do on our own. That is why He collectively calls us to a sharpening standard of unity. How we serve God is how we serve those around us. The hurt, the broken, the weeping, the neglected, the voiceless, and frankly, that defines all of us. The more we open our eyes to see each other as children of the Most High, the clearer we will be able to see the common cord that binds us together, the hope and the glory of Christ. Allow these pieces of Scripture to inspire the pursuit of deep-rooted community. Psalm 133, 1-3. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. We don't use comparisons like this much anymore, but I think it's good. Think back when we had an anointing service or an anointing here. All are standing up around the person up front. We're all quiet. We're all focused. All feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it just kind of peaceful? Or you go out in the morning when there's a heavy dew. You walk across the yard. The leaves aren't rustling. They're damp. They're flexible. They're not making a bunch of noise. The dew has softened them and they're quiet. Isn't that a good picture of properly working community? I had to think back up in that song how he was looking out his window on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow, I think, and I have to often think, right after it snows, you go out, and it's just dead quiet. It's almost, there's not a sound. It's just peaceful. And that's, I think, what God hopes community can do to each one of us, is just relax and make us all peaceful. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Matthew 18:20, which I referred to up in earlier. I didn't read it in the complete text, but for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Romans 15:5-7, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, not the ones that aren't working, not the something you worship or bow to. Encourage, okay, let me back up, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I pray that as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would allow him to sweep us off our feet and use us for his glory in ways that we can't imagine. Do you have a song?
732
and faith and prayer. Okay. If you want to stand, I'll have closing prayer and then we'll dismiss. Let's pray. Now unto him who is able to keep you to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask for or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
I'm so glad.